Web Talk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com. WebTalk is also brought to you by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com. It turns your PC into a sophisticated web radio VCR. It's a great way to enjoy listening to the radio. Record your favorite music and radio shows and stations, and then listen anywhere and whenever you want on any device you want. Get the free trial download at replay-radio.com.
Thank you for joining us from around the world. This is Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com, and you're listening to the Internet's Future, and my name is Rob Greenlee.
I'm Dane Greenlee, joining Rob on the airwaves once again
this
week.
That's right.
Well, straight ahead on the program, Microsoft's influential blogger offers his take on RSS and his new endeavor, Channel 9.
And I'm going to give you some online marketing tactics from my bag of tricks. And we're going to have our digital mailbag again. We're going to hear from a person from Nigeria and a 13-year-old web designer.
Some folks are saying Robert Scoble is doing more for opening the door to Microsoft than any other guy. He blogs prodigiously at his Scobalizer site at scoble.weblogs.com, giving us the inside view of that huge software company up north. He's also technical evangelist for the Windows platform team. In a moment, we'll practically turn the whole show over to Robert. He'll be here to talk about all things Microsoft, from RSS to Longhorn to his team's new venture called Channel 9 and how Microsoft is using blogs to better communicate with the rest of us.
You know, when you're down in Silicon Valley or somewhere else and you see Microsoft, it looks like a big black box that has two guys running it at the top. You have no idea how it works, and it comes toward you sometimes, and that scares you, and it goes away. And we want to give people some way to talk to it. You know, there's 55,000 people working here now, and they're all working on interesting things. And I find that when you get a human connection, that the product gets better. And you also get to see what they're doing and what they're working on and how they think and, you know, see that it's not evil.
Well, folks, Rob just arrived back about a half hour ago from guest lecturing a University of Phoenix business marketing class where he shared his favorite online marketing tactics.
I actually spent about 2 hours with this class. I'm kind of running through a top 12 list that I have of some of the favorite marketing techniques and some of the trends that I'm seeing online. And one of the most fascinating ones for me, and I think is going to show the greatest long-term potential, is social networking sites and some of the things that they're doing creatively online, like Google's Orkut site and Rise and Zero Degrees and some of these other sites out there that are really aggregating a lot of communities. And it's really creating an opportunity, I think, for a lot of professional people and companies to build communities and share information and market themselves online. That's the number one. And I think every company and organization and individual really needs to have a website.
Well, that's old news.
Yeah, it is. But there's a lot of people that still don't have a website up there yet. And that site needs to be clean in its design, needs to load fast and have good usability. And those are just some basic things that need to be done to have a successful website. And there's a lot of free resources out there, too.
Rob, your next interesting tactic has kind of been turned on its head from just over a year ago. It used to be big that newsletters were a great marketing tactic. Mm-hmm. But now it's something a little different.
Well, spam has really kind of killed the whole e-newsletter phenomenon. And it's not being very successful now because people just are not being able to get these things. But the hot trend here is RSS newsletters, and we've talked about this on the show a little bit, but that's one opportunity that I think is going to rear its head for a lot of companies that want to stay in contact with their customers and build better communications with their customers. So be on the lookout for RSS newsletters in the future here.
One that we've learned right from doing it ourselves for the last several years is, Rob,
to become a news source.
Yeah.
And actually create valuable content off your website. And that's really what this is all about. And it's not like what WebTalk Guys does. When you go to our website, you see we're creating articles, we're writing articles, we're creating content that fits with how the internet functions and how Google works, and we're being found in various keywords online and using press releases. And there's the phenomenon of like news.google.com, and there's a lot of people searching those things now. And number five here is ebooks. Being like an author, publish some content online in ebook format, or if you want to go all the way and become a regular book publisher, it's a great opportunity to build your expertise and your reputation online. The other huge one is getting an affiliate program going. If you have an e-commerce website, it enables you to sell on a pay-for-performance model out there. And one of the biggest ones out there is CJ.com, and it's Commission Junction. And they're really the biggest one right now, so they're a great resource. And pop-up windows, which is a very controversial thing, but is a technique that you can use on your website to promote like a newsletter subscriber process. But you have to be careful. There's a lot of pop-up blockers, and pop-ups can anger a lot of people if they're too annoying. So you need to put limitations in those pop-ups, in the cookies and the code on your website, so it only pops up like once per session.
Before you write us and say, hey, we hate pop-ups. We know you hate pop-ups. And we're just thinking like, you know, sign up for our newsletter, let it pop up once and disappear. We're not saying things that are not related at all to your product or, you know, these things.
Yeah, well, it can be a very effective way of getting subscribers to newsletters because it jumps up at people. But it just can't be annoying.
Well, I like this term, viral marketing, because it sounds a little contagious, but that's exactly
yeah,
what it is.
It's really a combination of all of the techniques that we have listed in the top list that I have of using a little bit and creating kind of a buzz online about your product and your expertise. And the other area is creating testimonials from clients or people that have purchased your products and putting those on your website, and people can look at those and it kind of builds your credibility. And also posting testimonials about products that you've maybe used on like comparison shopping sites. So it's a terrific way to get your name out and get your website out there on various large sites as well.
Well, the whole industry is around number nine. Your choice for number nine is search engine optimization. There's big conferences that promote this.
There's really just some basic techniques that you really need to think about when you're search optimizing your website is get a very keyword-focused and descriptive page title, and your metadata within your page is important too. Keywords are not as valuable now in your metadata as your description. So I would really focus on content on your page and making sure your content has keywords that are relevant to your site so you're found in the search engines. And you can also buy links, or you can pay for placement within Google. But keywords are the important thing, and you can use tools like Word Tracker to figure out what keywords are important for your site.
Rob, it's important always to keep a good contact list. Your Outlook usually does that for you, but
your contact list or your address book in your Outlook program is a great resource for you in the area of marketing. You just don't want to abuse it because if you do, you'll be considered a spammer, and you don't want to upset your contacts. But they can be a great way to launch a new website and create a little buzz about what you're doing, because those people will share that with other people. And just keep that in mind. Your contacts are valuable online, and you want to build your network as big as you can.
Well, a great marketing tactic is listing your products if you're selling something on eBay. I know everybody does, but it gets it out there, and a lot of people look.
Yeah, auction sites are a terrific way to market your products that you have, and it's also a marketing tool for you as a person, too, because you oftentimes create a profile page that you can add links to that go to your website and have more information about what products and services that you offer. It's part of the whole reputation and authority program that they have off their website. And the last one on my list is one that's near and dear to our heart, and it's streaming media and online media advertising. And we're seeing some significant trends in internet radio as we get penetration of internet listening to online radio of between 17 and 20 million listeners per week. That's kind of the sweet spot. So we're going to see a lot more advertising come into that area because it's proven statistically in studies to be a very attractive market that you would want to go after. And then video is another one.
Yeah, MSN Video sold out its inventory. At least that's what we heard at one point. We still have a few slots left. So anybody who wants to reach our market of over a million a month, definitely contact us as well.
Keep us in mind. But those are kind of our top 12 hot marketing techniques online, and we'll certainly expand on all these on our show over the coming months. And if you go back and look in our archive, we probably have talked about a lot of them at one point or another.
Thank you, Rob. And I know those students really appreciated hearing your take on this from the trenches.
Well, I always love talking about this stuff because it's so fascinating, and I spend a lot of time following it.
If you're listening and you think that Rob would be, you know, someone you'd like to have at one of your events or something, okay, contact him because he could talk for hours and hours on this topic of
marketing. And I have, yes.
And he has. He's got a sore throat right now.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm opening up the digital mailbag here. We've heard from people all over the world for years and years. I loved getting this one, though. It's from Awal Dewa. He says, I live in Yola, Nigeria. I'm a computer network administrator for a newly established international school in Nigeria. And by the way, that's at www.abti-academy.com. He says, Web Talk Guys radio show is a great source of information to us in Nigeria.
That's cool.
I follow it religiously. Now, he gets to the meat of what he's writing. He says, I think TLDs, that's top-level domains, are getting too much over the internet. And by that, he means getting too many different TLDs.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
One of the most interesting things about the internet is how we get information using some very few and common TLDs, such as .com, .net, .org. But now the whole thing's changing. He says, I think the internet is even being regionalized gradually by adding these TLDs that are, you know, country codes, .ac, .uk, .ca, .jp. Please suggest the use of common TLDs. Well, thank you, Awal. You know, I'll talk to ICANN.
Well, that's right.
I'll get them on the phone.
I've never liked these country codes that they use because it does regionalize the internet, and that's not what the internet does well at. It's a global medium, and it needs to be thought of that way.
Yeah.
That's just my own personal opinion. We got another email from David Peterson, who is a 13-year-old web designer.
13.
I know. He wrote us an email telling us about a shopping meta search engine and directory site that he built, and it's at ullfindit.com. And it's basically youllfindit.com. It has a pretty ingenious website address. And the 13-year-old that builds a meta search engine. This is pretty cool.
This is so great. How much drive does he have? I'm just thrilled. And in fact, we're going to see if we can get him on the show.
Yeah, we are going to get him on the show. He wants to come on the show and talk to us about how 13-year-olds can build cool websites. And he's been a part of an article that was written about Generation WWW.
I like that.
And you can actually find that article at www.thespectrum.com. I guess it's a new site. Basically ran his topic and what he does.
Well, that's fascinating. I can't wait for David to be on our show. I hope he does. Well, if you guys have anything you want to tell us about, some ideas, interesting topics, what we can share with others, please contact us.
Yeah, or just send a comment. You can send it to me at rob@webtalkradio.com, or you can send it to dana@webtalkradio.com. And those are email addresses that are only available to our listeners because it's the only place that we hand them out. So give us your thoughts. We want to hear from you.
Support for Web Talk every week is brought to you by our beloved web.com. They sell domain names for as low as $4.95. They have full-featured web hosting and e-commerce online store packages you can buy. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com.
Support for the show is also provided by Replay Radio at replay-radio.com, and they offer a terrific software program that enables you to record internet radio on your schedule and play it back on an MP3 player or on your PC when it's convenient for you. They've got a built-in database of about 400 shows and 600 stations that are pre-programmed in the software. So go check it out at replay-radio.com.
I use it all the time, many times a week. I don't want to forget our friends over at infocreek.com. They create wonderful websites.
And they're still working on our website, but it's coming soon. Believe me, it's about there, but it's really going to be a real advanced website. It's going to have 4 databases and a lot of cool stuff going on.
That's infocreek.com. Ever wonder what a Microsoft evangelist does? Well, up next, Robert Scoble, blogger and thought leader for Microsoft's Longhorn and Windows platform team, will join us to explain what he's trying to do to help the rest of us feel like Microsoft insiders.
This is Web Talk Radio. Hi, Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
You're back with Web Talk Radio, and thank you for joining us and listening today. And my name is Rob Greenlee.
And I'm Dana Greenlee. Some folks are saying Robert Scoble's doing more for opening the door to Microsoft than just about any other guy. Well, he blogs prodigiously at his Scobalizer site at scoble.weblogs.com, where he gives us the inside view of this huge software company.
Robert's on the phone with us, taking a moment away from his day job at Microsoft as a technical evangelist in the Windows platform team. In his off-time work passion is writing Scobalizer, which is a blog that shares all sorts of information about what's happening around Microsoft. And he's going to talk to us about all things Microsoft, from RSS to Longhorn, to his team's new venture called Channel 9, a streaming video project that lets us look into the cockpit, so to speak, and how Microsoft is using blogs to better communicate with the rest of us out there and their customers. Robert, it's great to have you on the show with us. It's terrific to speak with you.
Thank you.
What exactly is your position at Microsoft? What do you do besides blog in your blog all day long?
Actually, I only blog at night most of the time.
Really? Okay, so this is a hobby for you.
The blog is a hobby.
Oh, boy.
I'm an evangelist here on the Windows, or the platform team, which is Windows. Most of the people on my team are on the team I'm on. It's not my team. Are building demos for Bill Gates to, you know, show off at PDC, or they work with software partners like Adobe and mm-hmm. other companies, AOL, Macromedia, to build software for Longhorn, so that when Bill Gates announces, hey, Longhorn shipping, there's a pile of software behind him that also runs on it. You know, could you imagine if we had a platform that shipped that didn't have any software on it?
Yeah, that wouldn't be too good, I don't think.
And while we're talking about that, and before we jump into your blog, is there a publicly viewable web space for your team? I mean,
there will be. Actually, the group I'm on is building something called Channel 9, which is trying to give people a view into Microsoft that they haven't had before. Oh, channel okay. 9 is the channel on United Airlines where you can listen to the cockpit.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually, the head of the group here was really freaked out about flying, and one day it got so bad. This was back when he was in a startup in Silicon Valley, that his company actually got a pilot from United Airlines to pick him up one day and answer all his questions. And it really helped him because he saw how the thing worked, you know, and saw that was, you know, somebody intelligent up front. And they said, well, if you ever get freaked out, just listen to Channel 9 and you can hear what we're doing. And that's what we're trying to do now, is taking a little it's not just me. There's five guys and other people who are taking handheld video cameras. And we're going around and interviewing people who are working on technologies here.
That's a terrific project.
I can't wait to see that. When do you think that's going to be available?
A couple weeks. We don't want to say a date, but
I know.
Hopefully really soon. I'm editing the video for one of the talks right now.
So is this going to be a streaming type of thing that's available off the website?
Yeah, so you'll be able to watch the video interviews we've done. You also will have, we have a Moblog and some sort of blogging kind of thing where we can talk, you know, about what we're doing. And then there's a forum area where people can talk back as well. So that's what we're hoping, is that now that we're going around to each of these teams and interviewing interesting people, now you can talk back to the person and say, like right now I'm editing the talk from Bill Hill, who's the head of the typography department here, you know, and say, hey, I don't like your font, you know. What about this kind of font? You know, and maybe Bill will answer you back and say, well, we thought about that, but we actually did user testing and found that that kind of font isn't as readable on the screen. So,
is it going to be very corporate, or are you going to have some fun with it? Going to have guest
appearances
by
Triumph? This is totally not corporate. And when you see the site, you'll see. I mean, we're doing a little, you know, we're carrying around little handheld camcorders and not taking a film crew or not doing lighting. We're trying to make it just, you know, just like if you sat down with a person for lunch and talked with them, trying to make it as informal as possible.
Now, is this a spinoff from all the blogging success you guys have had and how that whole area is kind of growing up at Microsoft, isn't it?
A bit. It's, I mean, we're trying to figure out how people relate to the company in a new way, because, you know, when you're down in Silicon Valley or somewhere else and you see Microsoft, it looks like a big black box that has two guys running it at the top.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And you have no idea how it works, and it just, you know, it comes toward you sometimes, and that scares you, and it goes away. And
it needs to be there all the time now.
We want to give people, you know, a sense of how it works and also give them some way to talk to it, you know, because there's a lot of, you know, there's 55,000 people working here now, and they're all working on interesting things. And I find that when you get human connection, that the product gets better, because now you're able to talk in a normal way to a human being who is actually working on the product, rather than sending an email to, you know, mswish@microsoft.com and hoping somebody reads it. And you also get to see what they're doing and what they're working on and how they think, and see that it's not evil. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Why don't you talk about your experience with blogging Microsoft topics like this. Now, when you first started this, I guess not very long ago, I guess you haven't been doing it that long, did you have any conflicts with the Microsoft executives or the PR department with being so public and open about what was going on inside the company, or did that kind of evolve into something?
No, I had an advantage because I was blogging pretty openly outside before I came here, and I was invited to come here because of how I talked on the outside world.
Oh, okay.
So they've left me alone pretty much. I can do whatever I want with some exception. I've been in the Microsoft world for 10 years now, so I knew.
Okay.
I know what pisses off the people here, right? You know,
there's been people who have been fired for blogging.
Well, one guy,
bad stuff. Yeah,
he wasn't fired for blogging. There was one guy who was a contractor, and he was taking pictures of stuff here, and he broke an NDA. He signed an NDA not to reveal business, what's going on at Microsoft. So.
Sure, you kind of have to walk that line. You have to be clear that what you're communicating is not proprietary, I guess.
Yep,
is what you're saying.
Yeah. I get to blog whatever I want, but obviously I know that I'm not allowed to put, you know, schedules of Longhorn up there. I'm not allowed to set expectations that might not be met later on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that I'm not allowed to. It's just if I do that, I'm going to make people mad, you know,
and
I'm going to have to deal with 10 execs coming over going, why did you write that? You know? When the Seattle PI interviewed me, I said I go through a list of things in my head whenever I post, right? You know, can I justify it to my wife? Can I justify it to my readers? You know, and this will help you self-censor, right?
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, do I really want to write, you know, XYZ? No, it'll make life heck for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do take risks. I mean, last night I talked about the EU decision, and I take risks. It's good to take risks and push the envelope a little bit, but do it with a strategy in mind. Do it knowing the consequences. You know, in other words, be smart about it, right?
And it also sparks discussion. I also noticed on that blog or posting that you made about that whole thing is that you got like 130 comments back. So so sometimes when you take that plunge a little bit, it pays off in people's talk back to you.
Yep. And it also lets us know what we need to change or what we need to work on. It's a good communication channel that we haven't had before.
We're speaking with Robert Scoble, Microsoft's technical evangelist and blogger at scoble.weblogs.com. Robert's got a lot more to say, so stay connected. This is Web Talk Radio.
driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me.
Oh, yeah! Blow my nose at you, so-called Afro King! You and all your silly English
niggas! Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
Years from now, when you talk about this, and you will, be kind.
If I begin to die, please take this off my head. This is not the way I wish to be remembered.
That makes the Pentagon, the Jet Propulsion Lab, and the Queen's Bank at Georgetown, Cayman Islands. I hacked into them all inside of 19 minutes, plus I reset your systems clock. Daylight savings. I got the job?
You got the job.
Listen, hotshot, I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't care for you or for the putrid sludge you're troweling out.
It's really freaking me out, man.
Remember, only G.I. Joe is G.I. Joe.
Damage control is easy. Reading Klingon, that's hard.
My, people come and go so quickly here.
What's a dazzling urbanite like you doing in a rustic setting like this?
Elvis has left the building.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I want to see motion, movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay?
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, radio lovers, you can now record thousands of radio stations, listen anywhere you want, and even fast forward over the fluff. How? With Replay Radio. It's easy to use and incredibly cool. Replay Radio turns your PC into a VCR for the radio. To listen, just use your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or car CD player. So what are you waiting for? Try a free demo right now. Visit the Replay Radio website today at replay-radio.com.
You're with Web Talk Radio. My name is Rob Greenlee. Dana Greenlee is also in here with me. Robert Scoble is still with us chatting about his take on Microsoft and technology.
What are the current topics that you're excited about? You know, what is on your front page right now?
Most of it right now is the EU decision, so I'm letting that play out. But I'm passionate about all technology. It's not just Microsoft technology. I love, you know, my TiVo, which is a Linux box.
Yeah.
I love Google. I love Apple. You know, so I talk about the technology industry overall, and anything I see cool in it, you know, I point to it. You know, if I see Motorola came out with a new phone, and Bill Gates was showing it off on stage, it's a neat new phone with a camera and Bluetooth and a keypad. I love the tablet PC. The tablet PC has changed my life.
Oh, it's cool. There's no question.
Yeah. RSS has changed my life. Yeah. I read now 1,400 different weblogs and websites.
Robert, 1,400?
1,400.
I guess RSS lets you do that.
Well, there's a little trick. If you're using RSS, you only need to read the sites that have actually updated something. So if you're reading in the web browser and you want to get the same information that I've gotten, you need to visit each of those 1,400 sites every night, right?
Mm-hmm. That's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. And, you know, even just waiting for the page to load, if the average page load time is 8 seconds, that comes out to about 3 hours of time.
just waiting for it to load,
just
right?
Waiting for all those pages to load.
Yeah, that's not going to work too well.
In any 24-hour period, only about 20% of those sites will have actually published anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm only reading, you know, 300, 400 sites a night. Where if you were reading in the web browser, you have to read 1,400 sites a night.
That's still a lot of sites to.
It's still a lot of sites
to try and scan, but
so right there is a 10 times productivity increase, right?
Oh yeah.
And this makes sense even if you're reading only 10 blogs a night. You know, if you're reading 10 blogs a night, only two will have published anything. So you're only needing to read two. Where if you're reading on a web browser, you have to read all 10, and then you have to look at the page and decide, you know, and your brain has to look and see what's changed since the last time you changed view there. I don't need to do that. I need to just click on what's bold, which is what's new, and read it. I also only need to read the headlines, and that's really a trick that I use. I scan the headlines, and if I see my favorite cat photos, I just skip it. There's no reason I need to look at that. I'm not interested in your favorite cat photo.
No, well, some people might like to do that.
Some people might,
yeah.
You know, but I'm looking for tech stuff, so I'm looking for geek news and interesting things to my, you know, tech and politics and stuff like that.
What is the actual feed reader that you're using? What's the software tool?
I'm using NewsGator, which is a news aggregator that plugs into Outlook. If you don't live in Outlook every day, I would choose another one like RSS Bandit or FeedDemon or Radio Userland. or even read RSS feeds on a website, like Blog Lines. Blog Lines is really cool. In fact, I'm using that for my blog role now. So you can actually look at all the 1,400 sites that I'm reading. So I live in Outlook all day long. I mean, it's open on two screens right
now.
I want to read my news in there because I don't want to switch to another app. And I also want to be able to forward the items around to my team or to other people at Microsoft. You know, so if somebody is complaining about a feature in Outlook, I want to be able to take that and email it around quickly to the Outlook team and say, hey, there's somebody who's saying something about you on the web blog. And that lets me add some value to the Microsoft world internally.
Well, speaking of the Microsoft world, I just have to ask you, Robert, you have one foot in Microsoft, one you're excited and passionate about RSS. What's the buzz around Microsoft about integrating some kind of reader into some software application that Microsoft has? Is there any talk like that?
Some, but right now there's a lot of teams just trying. See, this is something that I didn't realize how Microsoft worked before I got here. I thought, you know, like when Bill Gates wrote that memo, right, and said the company is an internet company now, mm-hmm. it seemed like the whole company just went,
you know? Yeah, it just turned on a dime, right? Yeah.
But what really goes on is it's an anthill, right? And the ants are out there looking for food or interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, RSS now is being noticed. So there's, you know, all these little teams, all these people are checking out RSS, learning about it, seeing what it does well, and they're thinking about how they could use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe after 6 months, people write some specs and some ideas. I am seeing work internally that I just am not allowed to talk about yet because I've learned don't talk about things before the execs talk about them, right?
Well, that's smart, yeah.
Because you got to let Bill take credit for
what you do. Yeah. That raises an interesting question for you. Is that
yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say that now, because of the success of your blog, that people are considering you kind of one of the most powerful people at Microsoft now.
Yeah, I think that's funny.
What do you think about that?
When they give me $1 billion, man, then I'll know I've really arrived.
Dollar signs need to write along with that, right?
I mean, yeah, I do have some power, I guess, but not power in making other people do things, but in terms of representing, of being a public face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I don't see I have the power. It's my readers that have the power.
Yeah.
And now if I point at something and my readers agree with it, that's where the power comes from.
Mm-hmm.
If I point at something or say something on my blog and everybody says, you're an idiot, I don't have the power to override them.
Well, but it sparks discussion. It sparks people talking about issues, and I think that's probably where your success has come from. Is
yep.
that you've kind of shared information about what's going on at Microsoft, and it sparked discussion, and people give feedback, and it seems like that there's more and more bloggers popping up at Microsoft doing like what you're doing.
Yep.
And it's probably helping the company grow and develop and be more in touch with their customers.
Absolutely. And because now there is a public face to even the recruiting team here,
mm-hmm.
now people who want to do something with Microsoft know where to go and know a lot about how to work with Microsoft. There's two recruiters here who write a blog, and they've written already in just their first week of doing a blog. They've put up interview tips and resume tips and what happens to your resume after you send it in. What mm-hmm. do we do with it? You know, I didn't have that information when I went through the interview process. I just got lucky. But now you have all that information. You know exactly how to format your resume so you get through the system and you don't get kicked out. It's really interesting. Same thing with all the product teams. Now, if you're a OneNote fan, the guy who started the OneNote team is writing a blog, and you know exactly how to talk to him. You know his email address. You know what he cares about. And he has a way to tell you what he's thinking of
mm-hmm.
and get feedback. So it's really neat.
Do you see those blogs getting folded into the regular Microsoft.com website? Because right now it seems like they're
well,
still separate.
They're on blogs.msdn.com right now.
Oh, okay.
So they are. Many of the Microsoft bloggers are on Microsoft sites. There's a few of us who are rebels and not willing to go with the corporate thing.
Okay.
Like I'm on Radio Userland, and John Porcura is over on TypePad, which is running on Linux even, and mm-hmm. there's several people on TypePad, actually.
Do you see Microsoft coming out with their own blog
software
sometime soon?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that MSN is working on something. They've had job ads that have been shown publicly, but I don't have too much information yet on what they're doing.
But something is brewing.
Something is brewing.
Well, Robert, you should be all over that. That's sort of like you should be leading that team, I would think.
I can only do so much. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's
and
true.
I'd rather be in the Longhorn team. I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's
Channel 9 is just too exciting. So.
Well, Channel 9 is a fun way to get me involved with a lot of different teams. So I'm sure we'll talk to the MSN team on Channel 9 at some point. When I saw Longhorn before I joined Microsoft, and before I even knew I was going to be working here, my jaw dropped. I said, wow, this is finally, you know, what I expected from a company with the research team that it's built. It looks nice now, and it has a lot of new neat features. The video compositing engine is just awesome. And there's a new way to search for files on your hard drive, which is much, much better than it is today. So I was excited by the product, you know, the Longhorn product. And all this other stuff has sort of happened as well.
So is the RSS platform going to be integrated in with that,
some
level?
I don't know yet. It's clear RSS is going to get – and it's not just RSS. It's RSS and Atom or syndication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to get more and more important over time because it's just so much more productive to read. There's a couple other things that even after you learn that it's more productive. RSS lets you escape the browser and lets you do things with web content. For instance, Howard Dean had a desktop aggregator, which he was able to push down, you know, alerts through RSS into this little alert system, and it would pop up on your desktop and say, hey, Howard Dean's going to be on CNN tonight. Come and watch him on you know, Larry King Live and participate, and you could click on it and get a full web page kind of thing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That lets you build experiences that you don't get in the web browser, right?
Mm-hmm.
And RSS is just XML. Now that you're delivering content over XML, you can do a lot of different things in it. And in Longhorn, there's going to be a new sidebar where you could have a RSS aggregator. In fact, we've already shown one off at the PDC. And you could have all your news coming in there, and you could, you know, customize it and say, I only want to see news on, you know, Oracle, or I only want to see news on Java, or I only want to see news on .NET and see that up there. You know, the alerts team is working on alerts with RSS. So there's going to be RSS throughout the OS. I just don't know enough yet about how complete it'll be or where it's going. And I don't want to set too many expectations that it's, you know, we're going to do a huge amount of it, but it's clear we're headed that way.
Robert Scoble's on the line. He's of the Microsoft blog at scoble.weblogs.com. And you don't want to miss what he says next, so stay plugged in.
This is Web Talk Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular.com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com.
Dude, check it out. Listen to Web Talk. Totally for sure. Your old man's not here.
You're still streaming Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is still in here. Robert Scoble is talking to us about his work at Microsoft and his thoughts on RSS and blogging. If you put your futurist hat on a little bit and think about what RSS may be able to do, like maybe like 2 to 3, 4 years, 5 years out, it seems like that it has the potential to be almost a replacement for HTML in a way. I mean, if you start really thinking about these readers that are separate little browsers almost, and it's a matter of delivering the same kind of content, but I guess is there an advantage for everything to transfer over to that?
I argue that it'll go a lot toward RSS, but I don't think anytime soon it'll replace the web. The web is still the way you're going to find new content that you're interested in, just because HTML has richness that RSS doesn't have. RSS just gives you text and photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it stays that way. Some people here argue, oh, we got to make it so that, USA Today can put all its fonts and all its colors and all its design stuff down to your feed. But that ruins the readability of it. I'm probably going to, for the Channel 9, I'm probably going to debate with somebody from the IE team about that, because customers want to be able to have a branded experience delivered down as well.
There's certainly been a lot of discussion about RSS being used as a medium for delivery of media content as well.
Yep. Disney has delivered half a billion videos already through RSS.
Wow.
And so that's a great way, because if your computer is left on overnight, like mine usually are, so they're on 24 hours a day.
They can download, right?
They can download at 2 in the morning when the bandwidth isn't being utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when you start up your computer at, 9 in the morning or sit down at it, you have all this video that's locally stored, and it's very rich because you don't need to stream it over an internet connection. There are some exciting things happening with media delivery like that.
We've talked about on our show being used for newsletters. There's been discussion that it could potentially be a replacement for the IM tools out there, email, all sorts of different things that people have talked about it being used for.
It will replace a lot of email newsletters because there's a reason for that. If you unsubscribe from an RSS feed, it's gone. If you unsubscribe from an email newsletter, you still get stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
because they sold your
in.
A lot of people, a lot of publishers sell your email address to spammers, so they can get some extra money. And now you still get stuff even after you've unsubscribed from the newsletter. One thing in Longhorn, a lot of people want Microsoft to do RSS. But what we're doing is building a platform called .NET, which will let other people build great stuff on top of that. For instance, NewsGator is built in .NET.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Microsoft need to do it all? Let's help a community of people that builds interesting stuff on top of Windows and add it in. The desktop Dean aggregator was built in .NET. RSS Bandit's built in .NET. There's a whole development community now that's building around RSS that Microsoft, it's not Microsoft, but it's a third-party developer community, and I think that's a good thing.
Do you think if they decided to come out with their own solution for RSS and readers and things, that would basically squash that whole industry?
It could if we actually did stuff like that. Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
But the problem is, let's say Office, right? So Greg Reinecker's built NewsGator for Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one I use. I love it. Let's say Office did something similar to that. They would spec it out today, and they're not going to deliver the next version of Office for 18 months. So Greg has 18 months to build in new features, and he's already, I don't know if you've watched him work, but he's already added in a dozen new features in the last month.
Yeah, so he can actually move pretty fast.
He can move a lot faster than we can.
Sure.
And so, in 12 months, we come out with something that looked like what he did, 2 months ago. But by then, he's come out with a whole raft of new features. So I'm not so excited that we would do it. I think it's great that we're building platforms that let people build cool stuff on top of it, because we don't know where this market's going.
Yeah, that's true. It's really up in the air.
Look at the Atom versus RSS fights. Google and LiveJournal and IBM and Sun are going with Atom, it looks like, where everybody else is going with RSS.
Yeah.
Where's the world going? And what happens when the Atom API comes out? Now you can have an app like Photoshop that can publish directly to your blog if they built a connection to the API.
Yeah.
So there's a whole new world that's coming, and it's hard to predict where it's going.
So are you hearing anything more about updates to the actual format itself? I mean, there's been discussion of moving to an RSS 3 format versus where we're at right now is 2.
I know Dave Weiner sort of said, hey, why don't we join the two formats into one again so we can get better adoption?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really heard an official reply from the Atom people yet. The Atom people are taking Atom to the IETF and trying to standardize it there.
Oh, okay. So,
maybe in the IETF there will be a joining of the minds, but it'll be interesting where that process goes. It's going to be 6 months to a year at least.
It's not necessarily a bad thing that there's two competing platforms out there.
Yeah, for users, it's the problem is that now there's two links on every web page, right? There's an RSS link and an Atom link. And for mom and dad, they're going like, what? You know, first of all, they didn't know what RSS was in the first place, and now they have to go, what's RSS and what's Atom? You know? and can my reader read it? You know, and God forbid if there's a third one coming.
Well, that's the real danger. There's three of them coming, but you know, it's just what will all these readers support all of the different formats?
Yeah,
that's the bigger issue. And is it even realistic that they can consolidate into one and come to an agreement here? Because they seem to be heading in two different directions.
Yeah.
What's your thought on that? Do you think that they are going to be able to bring it together to create one standard and that'll last?
I don't know, because there's personality conflicts there and
of course.
There's politics and there's other things. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's up in the air, yeah.
It's up in the air. You know, for Microsoft, if I had to tell Bill Gates what to do, I would say anything that you're going to do to read RSS or syndication has to read both. And whatever you spit out, I would probably go with RSS at this point because it's a little bit more supported by all the RSS readers.
But yeah.
Probably go with both as well. You know, just be agnostic and say, mm-hmm. we're not choosing sides in this one. But
sure.
That's a tough thing to say. Personally, I like RSS.
Yeah, I do too. That's my preference.
Robert, we just have just a minute left, but
yep.
I like to switch gears a little bit because I like to know about who this Scobalizer guy is. We have Robert, the Microsoft guy. Robert, who at home is a blogger. And
yeah.
I can't imagine how long your days are. But just tell us what a typical day is for you and what you do and what you enjoy the most.
I enjoy talking to people about technology, and I enjoy discovering new technology. I mean, I'm playing with Windows Movie Maker right now and editing videos, and I've never done that before. It's fun to play with stuff and share it with other people. You know, I've taken a lot of digital photography, digital photos, and shared those with people for free, including the full raw photos. So I enjoy photography. I enjoy writing and talking with people and building, you know, and meeting people who are doing great stuff, you know.
Well, I guess your title as evangelist is pretty much that's what you do. You get meet a lot of people, get them all rowdy about something.
Yeah.
Get them all excited about technology. That's what you're doing a great job of.
Yeah, that's a lot of cool stuff coming. And it's not just cool. It's changing your life. I mean, you know, on the Apple side, look at GarageBand. And there's some on the Windows side, too, that let you build your own music studio. And on the tablet PC, we have a program called ArtRage that lets you paint. It looks like real ink. You know, and there's several sites now that are putting their ArtRage photos out or their ArtRage paintings out on the internet. The blog lets you share, you know, you can write a blog for just your family, or you can write a blog like mine for the world, and it costs you nothing or $40 a year. You know, that's just exciting.
Yeah.
An exciting world that's changing so rapidly.
And Microsoft's doing a great job of moving it along. There's no question. Hey, Robert, it was great having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
About all this stuff. It's really cool and it's exciting what you're doing up there.
Thanks.
We've been talking with Robert Scoble. He's Microsoft's technical evangelist of the Windows platform team and a blogger. You can find him at scoble.weblogs.com. Thank you very much for listening to Web Talk Guys this week. That's it for our show this week, but Rob and I will be back here bringing you more glimpses into the future of the Internet.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.